Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. It's so good to see everybody. Sometimes you just gotta do a one service and bring all the family in and say, hey, remember you got family reunion style. Remember you got other family and other services. Don't forget, it's not just the group that you're in or the service that you're in. Sometimes we can get divided really easily, not remembering. Come on, iPad. Help a brother out. There we go. We're in it. Hey, a lot of exciting things because we're all about community. That's a big part of what we do and who we are. You know, our vision statement, introducing Jesus, finding freedom, connecting to purpose, making a difference. But we need freedom if we're really going to connect to our God-given purpose. And so tribes is where we find freedom. It's our small groups. It's where we find community in a community of people that we grow with. And in tribes, it's a confidential environment. It's not a replacement for a Sunday school or, you know, you're hanging out and, you know, your little community group that you just kind of like to have fun with. I mean, like, we should be having fun doing life together and really growing one another, shaping one another towards Christ. And that's what Thrive Tribes do. We have to find freedom. We find freedom in groups of people. We grow the most when we are in groups of people, small groups of people, and that's what a tribe is. It's about people doing life together, loving Jesus, and guess what? It can actually be fun. Like, it should be fun. It's not just sitting around in a circle singing Kumbaya. Go out, do something fun together, have a good time, study the Word, talk about the Word, pray for one another, and honestly, these are life-changing moments, and I'll talk a little bit about it later, but it's in tribes, it's in small groups where God changed my life, in a community of people where I realized, man, these people are not going to gossip about me, and I know I can share the things in my heart, the things I've been through, the things I'm going through, and they're just going to love me where I am and help me become all God created me to be. And I can tell you one thing, that's what we want for every person here. And so we're doing a one service, have a baptism, which is great. There's a lot of the people getting baptized who came through small groups, came through tribes. They're in a small group of people, whether it's organized or not. In a community in this church. And so they've decided, hey, now is my time to get baptized. So if you will, hang out with us after church, and we're going to get some people baptized. And that's a big part of their faith step. And it's a big part of the body because we're all one. We're all one, different members, different parts of the body, but we're all one body. And so we need to celebrate together. But then also we're going to have sign-ups for tribes. As you peel out and go to the right, we have a lot of tables out here. We have different tribe leaders that are there to greet you and communicate with you, talk with you about what their group's about. And let me just tell you, I want to add this piece in. There's a little connect card in the seat back in front of you and every one of your seats. And so if there's a group out there and you're like, man, I don't know. I want more. There's something else I want. There's something different. And I really would like to, would you let us know that in these cards right here? Just write it on there in these comments and just say, hey, I would really love to be in a group about this. And so my hope is that we fill up these groups and we actually need more leaders to lead some more groups. Is that good? And I'm telling you, life changes in small groups. And so we are, I want to encourage you to do that. So we're in our series. We're finishing up our series. I'm going to do a double punch today, a 1-2 punch in the heart of the Olympics. Doing a 1-2 punch. We're in our finishing our series, All Things New. And so today we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers and persecuted. Isn't that great? The peacemakers and the persecuted. Boy, I tell you, that doesn't sound blessed at all. I'm persecuted and that's a blessing? Well, in the way that Jesus explains it, absolutely it is. It absolutely is. And so we should be comfortable and grow comfortable in that, in making peace in the world and the environments we walk in. And can I tell you that small groups help you to grow and be shaped and also know how to walk in peace with others and display the peace of God in areas? We've discussed a few things along the way. Jesus started with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Poor in spirit means, man, I'm destitute without Jesus. I realize I need Jesus. In every area of my life, I need Jesus. But there's also this blessed those who mourn. Maybe you're mourning something today. Maybe you're going through some mourning. That's good because God is allowing that to comfort you in a place that you need to be comforted, also helping you understand that you're not God and He is, and He can comfort you and heal you because only Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. Come on. There should be a good amen to that one. and which causes us to become a little bit more meek. When I know that I'm not God, I start to humble up a little bit. Doesn't mean I'm weak. It just means my strength comes under control because I know somebody else is in control and I don't have to be the one in control. Because I know he's in charge, because I know he's leading it, that I know he allows things to grow me and shape me, I can humbly come to him and I can humbly live this life out, which that meekness and that former mourning and that destitute heart reminds me, it also causes inside of me this hunger and thirst for righteousness. A hunger and a thirst, a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness. And I've got to be really careful because a hunger and a thirst for righteousness can also can lead me to become very judgmental, which is why Jesus backdoors that with a blessed are the merciful. Because I can, if I forget about the merciful part, boy, I become really judgmental of others because I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And doggone it, they're not living right. And doggone it, they. And doggone it, here's what they should be doing. And you're going to go to hell if you don't change your ways, doggone it. I'm just so hungry and thirsty for righteousness. But then I remember I'm also destitute without Jesus. I'm also mourning for the brokenness of this world because I've been broken and Jesus stepped down and he helped me and he healed me and he comforted me in my time of need. And not only that, he brought a tribe around me to help shape me and hear me and weep with me and do life with me and break me broken with me, which caused me to be a little bit more open and less independent and less proud, a little bit more humble, a little bit more meek, a little bit more understanding that he is the one who is strong and I'm only strong because of the strength that he gives me and causes me to hunger and thirst. And it causes the humility in this hunger and thirsting, which means, man, I just want the brokenness of this world to meet Jesus and I want to be an advocate and a vessel for the life of Jesus, which causes me to be merciful and then it purifies my heart. It purifies my heart. In fact, you can't even carry a pure, you can't have a pure heart unless you're merciful. You don't want the other. A pure heart. Allie's going to give me a hard time. This is going to social media. Pure heart because you're merciful. And so Matthew 5:9, Jesus says this, number 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. They'll know you're a child of God because you're a peacemaker. You're one who brings peace into an environment, and you change the environment because of the former 6 things we talked about have been established inside of you. There's this meekness, this purity of heart, this mercifulness, yet this hungering and this thirsting for the righteousness in the world and the world around you and the world beyond you, and it's not about you anymore. There's a meekness. There's an understanding that they're just as destitute as I am, and I'm just as destitute as they are without Jesus, and so we need Jesus together. It's God's desire. It's God's desire that we bring peace into any environment. And when people think about your name, they think about that as a person who's going to direct things towards God, going to redirect me towards Jesus. In my small group, in my tribe, whenever I start to feel like I'm getting a little bit depressed and anxious and start to, oh, woe is me, there's somebody who loves me and meets me there, allows me to be that person, but then lifts me up and brings peace into my environment, into my mind, into my soul. Those peacemakers. There's those peacemakers when things are chaotic, the room starts to get chaotic and it starts to get a little gossipy and it starts to get a little bit negative. That's that peacemaker who walks in the room and says, yeah, but let's remember what Jesus says. Peacemaker. There's a peacemaker that no matter what's going on in the culture and in the environment and the government systems, the media systems, the Olympic systems, there's a person that yet walks in and still glorifies and gives praise to their God and reminds them what the word of Jesus says. Peacemaker. See, Jesus desires for all of his children to have this shalom. As you may have heard last week, and as if you were ever to go through Israel, you'll hear shalom, 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 which is a deep wholeness, completeness, a fulfillment, inner rest. Well, who needs the shalom in here today? Some inner rest, like I'm talking about some soul rest. Like you don't realize how recharged you are because your soul has found so much rest. It's not shaking and quaking and it's not anxious. It's got the shalom of God. Because I know he is walking with me. He is providing for me. He is covering me. He's going before me. He's coming behind me. And he's all around me. Shalom. Living without deficiency or lack. I lack nothing. I'm just right here where God has me in preparation for the next place that he's taking me into. I lack nothing. There's some things, there's a direction that I'm going, but I can be in full peace. I can live in a life, in a mindset of fulfillment because I know I'm exactly where God has me. Nobody is holding me back. Nobody is in my way. Nobody is keeping me from anything. God has me right where he has me because he's doing some inner work in me to prepare me for where he has for me to go. Shalom. And how do we do that? How do we find this? How do we become peacemakers? Number one, we experience peace with our God. I need to find peace with my God. You need to find peace with your God. I need to learn how to, in relationship and time and devotion with him, feel the peace of God because he is the Prince of Peace. I experience peace within ourselves. We experience peace within me, with God, and within me. My soul starts to find that shalom. It starts to find that rest. Like I'm at peace in my soul. And then I experience peace with my circumstances, with our circumstances, everything around me. It may be chaotic, but it's okay because I have peace with God and peace in my soul, and my circumstances are fine because, again, God has me right where he wants me, in the environment that he's called me to be in. And the environment doesn't have to change. I have to find peace with my God and peace within myself. And then the environment will change because God has a child of his bringing peace into the environment. This is really good. Then we stay focused on the real issues. Boy, we can get distracted by the wrong issues. Sometimes our emotions and our feelings and our old hurts and our old wounds and our thought processes and our distractions and our lack of devotion and time spent, these things can start to get us all distracted and lose focus. We get our attention starts to get carried away, and all of a sudden, I'm not focused on the real issue. And can I tell you, in any situation, in any environment, in any circumstances, in any relationship, God is trying to do the work in you first. That's the real issue. What's the real issue? It's not all out there. It's right here. Because if there's anything that's disturbing the shalom of God, it's because you're not carrying the shalom of God enough. Therefore, there's some changing that has to happen. There's some shifting that has to happen right here. There's some healing that has to happen. Come on, Freedom Conference, can't come fast enough. There's some oldness that needs to go away so the newness of Jesus can rise up inside of me. See others through God's eyes. Now I've got to start changing my judgmentalness. And I got to see people through mercy, love, and grace, and but yet truth. You can't leave out the truth. You know, spread peace by living peace. I'm just walking in peace. I'm gonna choose to walk in peace. And anything that causes a lack of peace inside of me, I'm not going to confront anything external. I'm going to confront that thing that's within that's causing me to feel a little anxiety. What's wrong with that thing inside, not the thing outside? Too many believers, too many people are being driven around by the happenings on the outside because they haven't found the peace on the inside, and their anxieties are their gods. Their worries, their fears are their gods, and they're leading them astray rather than into the shalom and the peace of God, and therefore they're wondering why there's no peace in their environment. Because your environment is crying out for a peacemaker to walk into it. And notice I said peace and not passive. Because there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Somebody better say, come on, I'm about to start stepping on some toes. I won't stay here long because a peacekeeper is usually about self-preservation. I'm just not going to speak up because, you know, it just won't be accepted. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Hey, let's all just get along, guys. Come on. Huggy, warm fuzzies. No, let's just avoid the real problem and just let's have a bunch of chaos in our relationships that never get addressed. We're just going to be together and just be happy. Come on. And they get really frustrated and anxious when a peacemaker walks in the room and says, no, here's the problem, here's what we need to address, and here's how we move forward with this. See the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? All you peacekeepers, I'm so sorry I just hurt your feelings. It's going to get better. He's already persecuting me. James 3:18. And those, in fact, the peacemakers are the ones who get persecuted. The peacekeepers always feel persecuted because there's anxiety in the room all the time. They feel like they have to be the one who solves the problem rather than allowing Jesus to step into the room through them to resolve the problem. Okay. And James 3:18 says, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. It may not happen overnight. It may not happen in the next 30 minutes. You may be wondering, thinking this is never going to work, but God is training your senses and your awareness of his goodness and his greatness and his mightiness, that as you continue to be a peacemaker and choose not to be a peacekeeper, and yet you plant seeds and you remind people of who Jesus is and what he says and what he does and what he's called us to, and you just keep on planting those seeds, it may take some time, but you're going to see some shifting in the environment. You're going to see some changing in the environment. You're going to see some people who didn't like the seeds that you planted love the harvest that you've caused to grow. They're going to love the forest that you've created because of those seeds that you planted. It doesn't matter if it takes 3 weeks or 3 years or 30 years. They're going to grow up. They're going to come back around. They may leave your field, but they'll come back to that forest. You just keep planting seeds. We evidence peace to our world. A peacemaker will evidence peace. How does he walk so boldly and confidently? How does she walk with such security, internal security? How does she just know when she speaks, this is what God's going to be doing on the backside? How do they know that? How do they walk with such courage and such confidence and such boldness? Because they've walked with Jesus. They know what Jesus wants to do in the environment. They know what Jesus, what his word says. They know what he's already called them to do. In fact, they know what he's already done in their life before, and they know what he can do now and in the future. So they walk with boldness, this God confidence. John 17:22 says, I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect, you know, God's blessings are caused and caused and caused upon unity. This is what tribes help us to do. We get into small groups of people and we start sharing our hearts. And you know, we can have disagreement and still love one another. Do you know that, body of Christ? Good Lord, can somebody just tattoo that on their heart? I can disagree with you and still love you deeply. Another message. They experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. You know how the world will know that Jesus came to earth? Because of the unity right here. You know what Satan's biggest plan and plot is? It's rhetorical. To destroy the unity right here so that the world will doubt that Jesus has ever been here. They'll doubt that you really know him, doubt that he really exists, doubt that he can change lives, doubt that he can bring peace, doubt that he can bring shalom into their lives and into this world. That the world may know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Isn't that good news? But this is why tribes are so important. Can't advocate it enough. I just got back from Austin last night, and I can't help but to go to that town and be reminded of how God transformed my life. Got into a church. My pastor led me to a small group. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I came from a small group of people, and you know, everybody gossiped about each other, and they just talked about each other. It was a different kind of small group, you know what I'm saying? Like I used to say this, and it's true. Like I could say one thing on one side of town, and by the time I was done leaving a place, everybody knew on the other side of town. It's like the crickets were even in this environment of gossiping. Everybody just told everybody else about everything else that you said. It was just the culture. And then you know what that does? It kind of locks you up. I can't tell anybody anything. Everybody's going to judge me. I can't tell them my secrets. They're going to look at me negatively. They're going to look at me differently. They're going to look at me with sourpuss face. But then I got in a small group in Austin, and I realized I just watched them for a while because I was so jacked up. Like that jacked me up. I just listened to them talk with one another, and I listened to them open up with one another, and I was just sitting there facing every fear internally, like, I ain't doing that. No way. Do you know what happens when you do that? Like, I was judging the environment because of my own brokenness. Anybody ever? Anybody ever found themselves rejecting the place or the people or the environment that God's put them in before they could get rejected? You may be doing some self-realization right now. Dang, I do cause that whenever it starts to get a little bit close. Freedom Conference, by the way. And can I say, this is what small groups are all about. Whenever I started realizing, whenever someone's name was brought up and they weren't in the room, if it wasn't about health and honor and helping the individual, they just shut it down right then. That trained me and showed me that this is a safe place. And the more I started to open up and tell my junk and talk about my junk and reveal my junk, the more I started to get healed, the more I started to become healthy, the more I started to become the person that I didn't know I could be, and I started leaving the person that I was, which was the one that was actually causing all the problems. Blessed are the persecuted, he says as well. Blessed are the persecuted. There will be persecution. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And he says in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Starts with the kingdom of heaven being poor in spirit, ends with the king of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is yours because you're going to be persecuted. As you grow in these beatitudes, the more you start to grow in the heart and in the carrying the heart for God into the lives and the environments in which he's called and placed you in, the more you're going to start to reveal his heart, the more you're going to start to speak his heart, and the more culture is going to say, I don't know about all that. They're going to start rejecting you before they can be rejected because they think they're going to be rejected. That's the world they're used to being in, is rejection. Much of the body of Christ is carrying around rejection, though you've been accepted. It's the difference between an orphan and one who's been adopted. Someone who's been adopted, it takes them years to realize that they're no longer an orphan. Okay. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This beatitude demands a response that reflects the heart of Christ in any environment. It literally demands that I am going to decide in advance that no matter what people say to me or about me, I'm going to continue to talk about and walk out the peace of God in any environment, starting with my own life. And anything that's starting to come out, I want to address it in me first before I try to address it in others. We'll change the world that way. And this is where we start to go deeper. You know, this can be a really shallow message, actually. You're like, I want you to take me deep. Well, deep is applying principles of God's word that you yet to apply on a consistent basis. This is deep. I mean, I'm going to allow this transformation to take place in my life so that as I walk into environments, I'm learning to walk in peace, but I'm also learning to exhibit peace and release peace and cause the people around me to experience peace. That's what a peacemaker does. And guess what? Jesus says it's going to come with persecution as well, because there's going to be the naysayers. There's going to be the people that have something else to say. There's going to be somebody that wants to be negative. But how can this be a blessing when I've got to put up with that? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He said, what? Like, you can tell he's had a mind transformation. You know how he's able to do that and delight in those things? It's because the amount of time he spends with Jesus in the quiet place. He's become, his reality has become more about the environment and the presence of Jesus, and his mind and his soul is so filled with the peace of God, and he understands that these are the areas that I actually have to walk in and be comfortable in, but they're not going to change who I am and how I see the environment and the people within them. He says, so I delight in weakness, in insults. I'm supposed to be in those environments. I'm supposed to be where hardships are. I'm supposed to be where I'm getting persecuted. I'm supposed to be where it's difficult and not running from the areas of difficulty. Come on, body of Christ. They don't accept me because I'm a follower of Christ. What'd you think? Changing jobs, quitting places, leaving towns, leaving environments, dropping out of your small group, your tribe, your people. Well, it was just difficult. It was hard. Well, Paul realized when I'm weak, though, this is when I'm strong. Like this, because of my relationship and my time with Jesus, I am strengthened because he shows up. He walks into these environments and he changes everything. And so remember, these Beatitudes started the Sermon on the Mount. And then he starts to talk about this other strange conversation. He goes into Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth, meaning because you've been with Jesus so much and you carry these attributes, these Beatitudes, you bring Flavor Flav into the environment. You walk in with your big old clock. That's for some generations, it's not for all generations. Pete, it's for some cultures, it's not for all cultures. I'll explain later, brother. You're my brother. Like, you bring savor. You make this place savory, like, shoot. Every time I go to that small group, it just tastes good because of the Jesus. There's just all that Jesusness up in there. I just go away. My mouth is watering. I just loved it. I'm like, that was a good experience. Life's changed. Can't wait to come back. Savory. He says, also, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Like, you're just a beacon. You don't mean to be. You're not performing. You're not acting in the same way. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Like, I'm not trying to put on a show. I'm not out there trying to do works hoping somebody sees me. I'm not trying to look all Christian-y so that I hope somebody's watching this. Look how much Jesus I got in me. No, it's just natural because of my time with Jesus, because of my love for Jesus, because of my heart, my hungering and my thirsting for righteousness for a lost and broken world. I just release Jesus. I come into a room and I show them Jesus. I can pray for them easily and calmly without anxiety because I know Jesus is going to do something in their life and he's going to bless me through it. Let them see it and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to show you a video. It's in the heart of Olympics. I got to do this. So I'll show you a video of a champion. She's been killing it. And man, she's been getting persecuted for killing it. But here's what a peacemaker who gets persecuted looks like, if we will.
What is it about you that performs the best on the biggest stage?
Honestly, I think my faith is the biggest factor. Just trusting the Lord and trusting the plan he has for me. It doesn't always guarantee things are going to go amazing, but I just give all the honor and glory to him every time I step on the track, and I'm amazed with what he's doing in my life.
What's next?
What's next? The relay.
We need more peacemakers in this world. It's not always going to be easy. I'm just doing what he's called me to do. I'm just glorifying him with my hard work. She even says, I work hard, trust Jesus. We need more peacemakers. Not worried about what culture is going to do. Not worried about the persecution that comes along with Matthew 24 says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Not these days, not this day and age. You kidding me? Never. that must be in the future. I just hope that never happens. Must be Jesus is coming soon if that starts to happen. Oh, wait, it is. Many will be offended. They'll betray one another. Start to hate one another. They'll even listen to CNN and NBC, these people that can't stand the church when it comes to the news about the church. Can you believe it? Surely not. It literally means the majority of us are going to have a reason. Yes, don't be surprised. You have every reason to be offended. Luke 17:1 says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Great, you're offended. Great, you have every right, every reason to be, rather, but you don't have a right. There's many offenses in the world. There's many things to choose to be offended about. You don't have the right. You may have a reason, but you don't have a right to be offended. Many offenses will rise up, give you plenty of occasion, opportunity. Oh, they didn't do this. Oh, I expected them to do that. Nobody does this. Nobody says that. This never happens. They did this. They did this for them, but not for me. Many offenses will rise up. Good news. You're right. There is an opportunity to be offended. However, Jesus, he says otherwise. In fact, it's impossible to go through life without an opportunity to become offended. Impossible. There's those with, you have chaos in your soul. It starts to well up whenever you don't deal with it. And all of a sudden, your offense inside of you becomes so chaotic, you're blinded by it, and you don't realize you're the very opposite of the peacemaker. You're the one that's slyly and slowly bringing chaos into the environment, and you're mad about that because peacemakers, persecuted, your soul doesn't have the shalom of God. Can I mention tribe season one more time? Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended brother is more unyielding. When you become offended and unyielding towards others, you become offended and unyielding towards God as well. Because you start to get entrapped into this world because you're first focused on the things that you can see, and you're secondly focused on the things that you can't see. So the things that you can see, which causes an offense inside of you, you work that over so many times in your head and in your mind and in your thoughts and all these excuses. You're barred up with many great excuses for your offense. You're unyielding to others who try to come in and speak to that offense. And then all of a sudden, God's voice is clouded and you can't hear it. You're barred up against him and unyielding against him because you become so self-righteous in your offense. Not anybody in here. I'm talking about other people. And disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. You become walled up, caged in, shut down. You think it's all external, but the problem is it's internal. And it becomes so chaotic inside and so uncomfortable. Surely it's the environment or the place or the relationship or whatever it is you're trying to flee. Surely it's that. But God is allowing it so you can see that, no, it's you. So what's our response to insults and accusations? Well, we got to choose to overlook the offense. I'm going to choose. Like I have got to have it set in my heart. All right, I'm going to get offended today. There's going to be many opportunities for offense. It's going to happen today. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And guess what? It's going to happen when it's most untimely. I'm not going to have time for it. I'm going to be exhausted and tired. It's going to happen right there in the moment where Satan can most affect me. It's going to be right there when I'm in a hurry. I haven't washed my hair yet. My kids are doing, you fill in the blank. That's when it's going to happen. So I've got to have it set in my head. It's going to happen right then. I'm speaking. It's going to happen. So I have to choose in advance to overlook that thing. Proverbs 10:12 says, love overlooks the wrongs that others do. It's a choice, by the way. It's a choice Because otherwise I'm running around all over the place with this chaos in my heart, blaming everybody else and everything else. And in reality, God's saying, if you would just be still and let me deal with your heart, you will find the peace, the shalom of God. Number two, keep my heart free from unforgiveness. I've got to have this practice that, as soon as they offend me, Lord, I just bless them. I forgive them. I forgive the situation. I forgive the scenario. You've got to have this in your tool belt that when thoughts about people or places or circumstances or situations that God's called you into and it didn't work out the first time as if it was supposed to, it couldn't work out the first time because there were some things in you that still needed to get out of you. Therefore, I have to forgive some things about the first time. I got to forgive some of the people in my life. I got to forgive my wife in advance because I know something's going to happen. Come on. There's many reasons for an offense. Hey, it's two people that are rubbing each other and they're frustrated and their time of this is where I'm stressed and your time, this is where it's stressed. They don't line up. Have forgiveness in my heart in advance. I know I just can walk. Go ahead and forgive. Go ahead, ready to forgive. When I'm frustrated about something or someone, I know that is the very thought and the thoughts that start to distract me from being able to have a sound and a wise mind towards making wise decisions for my God and for my life and for my family and the people I love and in the environment that God has called and causing me to make peace. So when those things are in my mind, I'm tormented about them. Therefore, I already know as a personal discipleship, that's what tribes do for you, discipleship, that I'm going to forgive. I'm going to bring that to my awareness. I'm going to be so self-aware and mindful that there is something packed inside of that little package that's distracting me that I need to forgive. Can we get some mature believers in here that are quick to forgive? On Luke 11:4 says, and forgive our sins, for we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Let me tell you what Paul says in Colossians 3, you must make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. You must make allowance. You mean I can just let them hurt me and be okay with that? You got to make some allowance for the offense, knowing that they are human as well as you are. But a peacemaker will come back around when it's time and properly address things. You know what a peacemaker does? They don't come in harsh because remember, hungering, thirsting, and right for righteousness, and then the merciful, and then the pure of heart, and then comes the peacemaker. You know what they do? They don't come in like a bully and a judgmental, you know what? They come in very loving, very kind, very firm, very graceful, very merciful, very understanding first. With love, and then they bury the truth inside of that. And then they release it to let you do whatever you want to do with it because they're not in control of you or the environment. They're just one to release what needs to be released. Plant the seeds and wait for the forest to grow. They didn't stop there, Paul didn't. Darn you, Paul. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You didn't leave it optional. Like it wasn't a checkbox, do you forgive me, yes or no? You must forgive. You must forgive others. How long does it take before I need to forgive? As long as you want to be pinned up in a cage, suffering from the unforgiveness. How long do you want to be caged by the unforgiveness? How long do you want to be tortured by the unforgiveness? To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was. This is what deception does. You think, I'm just going to release you and you can find, I'm going to let you have it. You're off the hook and realize, hey, I feel so liberated by that. I feel so outside of the cage. I don't feel imprisoned anymore. Yeah. Because your unforgiveness and your chaos in your soul is keeping you in bondage. Forgiveness is to release you as the prisoner, but it can't imprison the other offender either. I'm gonna forgive you just because I need to, but you know what? You're gonna have to earn a right back in my life. You have to earn it. I'm forgiving you for me, but you're going to have to. You can stay all up in your jail. No? Because you're still suffering from that. You're still struggling with that. You're still going to be imprisoned by that. It may take 1,000 times of forgiving somebody, but the word of the Lord says you must forgive. Pray, bless, and do good to them. Pray for them, bless them, and do good to them. Pray for them, bless them. You know, there's some things, boy, there's things in life that just, they just irk you. You know, like you hear them, it just gets all in your crawl. When you grow, you learn to forgive. And man, you know that when you mature, you're in the tension of the crawl agitation, and yet you're forgiving in the same time. You ever gone to bed mad as Hades over something you just heard or that just happened, and yet the whole time you're trying to sleep, something inside of your soul is at unease, but yet your spirit is forgiving and blessing and forgiving and blessing and forgiving and blessing, and there's a tension between your spirit and your soul. You ever experienced that? You need to forgive some more if you haven't. But your spirit is wrestling your soulish thoughts and your soulish, untrained and untamed and feral soul down with the Lord so that it be blessed by the Lord in obedience, in humility, in righteousness. And that's okay to be in that place. In the very same person or the same thing or the same environment, through that wrestling and the tension between your spirit and your soul, when you allow your spirit to win that battle and say, there's some things in that tension that's in my crawl that I don't understand logically or maybe even experientially yet. But God, I know as a byproduct, apply your and appropriate your word by faith of forgiving and blessing in time when you know my soul is ready, whatever is agitating me will no longer bother me. In fact, you will begin to bless me as I bless the very things and people and scenarios and environments I'm agitated about. I'm going to leave you with that right there. I'm just going to leave it all right there. Because I think there's plenty of information right there for this whole room starts taking some things to the Lord and start finding the shalom of God and start praying over some people, places, scenarios, situations, start blessing some things, start walking humbly with their God in those places, relationships, and environments. And can I tell you, you're never going to grow. You're never going to get the pastoring that you need. You're never going to get what you need until you actually start getting involved in a smaller community in groups and teams, our serve teams and tribes. That is where you're going to get your community, your growth, and your pastoring in this church. That is where Jesus established growth and health and freedom in the church. And I can't advocate it enough. If it's done it for me, it'll do it for you. Is that good? Hey, let's just, I want to pray for you. Would you stand up? Let's just get ready. Let's just get ready. Lord, whatever it is in this message that you've revealed to any and every individual, would you just bring a highlighter and just swipe that this morning? Father, would you bring it to their remembrance and their times with you and their devotion time in the morning and in the evening? Father, would you bring them to a place of wrestling with this peacemaker and this peacekeeper? Would you help them to get out of the cage of their unforgiveness and their offenses? Lord, would you help them to be a little bit more humble about where they are so that they can realize, Lord, it's the work that you're doing inside of them before around them. So, Father, we just pray for your word to be true. We pray for the persecuted and we pray for the peacemakers in this room. We pray for your will to be done in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get a good amen? Amen.